Hello guys, welcome to the Black Scene Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And welcome to a brand new pod. We told you we'll be back quicker this time.
it's a one-week turnaround. I like that. I'm
one
proud.
One-week turnaround. Yeah. Even though it's the end of the season, but it doesn't feel like it. I literally, someone today said 7 weeks to 2026.
That's and I was nuts. Like, I know. It's and I'm still here yapping about tennis.
I'm still here yapping about tennis. Crazy. How are you, Eugene?
I'm good, Lucy. I'm good.
Speaking of tennis, you played some tennis today.
Happy Sunday. Exactly. Happy Sunday. I won't bait out who I played with.
But yeah, friend of the pod.
Nice Sunday hit.
How
are you?
I'm good. Speaking of tennis, my friend gave me this beautiful bag, cool. Keyring thing. Yeah, it's like a tennis ball and a tennis racket. If you're listening, please go on YouTube and watch, and you can see.
Oh, that is really cool.
But yeah, it's literally the coolest thing. Shout out to my girl Kessie. But yeah, I love it. It's been an eventful week in tennis.
Yeah,
I think it helped me bring back the excitement. You were even like, "Raw, like you're very back." I'm like, "Yeah."
Lucy put the rundown together and I was like, damn, this girl, you've been tapped all the way in.
I was tapped all the way in. Like, even I was even like, hey, shout out to this person because of the matches. Like, and they're not even black players. Like, you know. No, but it was, I mean, like I said in the last episode, the last two tournaments were the biggest one. Like, they need to be treated like Grand Slams. Yeah. And I feel like, the ATP and the WTA finals, they're not really treated like that. Only for like the fans, because we understand, but I think tennis need to take it further and treat it like is a Grand Slam final, because you have the top eight players, the exactly. players who did the best, you know, even if there might be some sneaks here and there, it doesn't matter.
There are no sneaks in the top eight.
I'm the same. It's just that obviously the fans love doing the whole sneak this, sneak that, but yeah, so it was very eventful. And obviously for us, especially with the ATP finals, with the fact that, which we'll talk more further, with the fact that we'll have so many black players at the ATP finals. I don't think we've ever had three black players at ATP finals. What a time.
Definitely not since we started doing this. Definitely not.
Exactly. Like, so a massive shout out to the guys, but we'll talk about that later. But obviously we need to start with what just finished WTA finals. I'll pick.
Because honestly, I'm pretty sure I said Arina Sabalenka. No, I said.
You said Sabalenka, and it's the second pick. Yeah, but we still said it, you know.
But I think you said.
I said Rabakina, because Rabakina this entire season, she surprised us at times where she didn't she didn't need to do anything, and it's like, whoa, she just got here, and also the way that she grinded to secure that
in Asia.
The last spot exactly. Yeah. And as soon as she secured it, she's like, I'm out. So I was like, oh, you're on a mission. Rightfully so. You know, one of the biggest titles after the Grand Slams and a massive check, you know. So yeah, so she takes home 5.23 million after beating Sabalenka 6-3, 7-6. The tiebreak was a bagel, by the way. But both of them were unbeaten. But Elena, she just showed that she was one of the best servers. Like, her serve, yeah, I was just...
She's on point.
And yeah, and she put a lot of pressure during her match against Sabalenka and stuff. But yeah, it's just interesting how Elena had the weirdest season, yet she's the one who picked up this trophy. That is actually insane. Like, her season generally does not make sense, and yet she's the one who picked it up. So it just shows to you how, like, anything can just happen.
Yeah.
And it also, one made me ask, do you think Sabalenka will ever be able to actually win the WTA final? Because for context, she's never won it. And also, when you think about all of the finals that Sabalenka has reached this year, aside from the US Open, for like the big finals, she's actually lost them. Australian Open, French Open. There's one more 1,000 where she lost, but I can't remember. But yeah, but like obviously WTA finals, but it's like, it makes me wonder, like, what is it about those finals and then Sabalenka? Because she's still the number one player. She's one of the best players to do what she do. But yeah, what do you think about Sabalenka?
Yeah, I hear like the kind of, I don't know, talk about, it's been a weird season for her.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, she's lost, like you said, some pretty big finals. But then again, like you said, she's end of the year world number one. Like number it's been an incredible season, and she has won a Grand Slam. So, but yeah, I feel like we need to put more kind of respect on the fact that she's ended the year number one, regardless of the final defeats that she has suffered. Because yeah, like Lucy, this again, like we've already established in so many different episodes, like the tennis season is so long. And for her to be able to like sustain that level like throughout the year, and also like she's performed pretty well like at all the big events, hence why she's been able to stay at number one. So I feel like we need to put more respect on that. And yes, like we've said, she's lost in big finals, but at the end of the day, she is literally the year end number one again, like for 2025. It's been an incredible season for Irina Sabalenka. Yes, it was. I mean, she'll be disappointed to lose those WTA finals to Rybakina. But and again, I think to answer your question too, and this is why she was my pick, because I thought, yeah, she wants to basically win this because she's never won it before. And I thought, yeah, she's going to go all out to basically try and win. So
you never know. She might be like a Nadal. Nadal has never won ATP finals, remember?
I think she's going to win it. One of these years, she's going to win, definitely.
Okay.
And I think she's going to make it like one of her like aims or targets to make sure she does it. But yeah, Rybakina was just too good. Like you said, both of them undefeated in the lead up to it.
Yeah,
won every single match, looked pretty comfortable as well, I'd say, like in from what I did see of Rybakina. So yeah, but I think Sabalenka, like she's had a very, very good season.
Yeah, yeah. No, for sure. I think I was surprised at how people were talking a lot about her season and how we went, blah, blah, blah. Because for me, considering what she's achieved and reached, it's still good. And it's funny because we always say some players would get like opponents and they're playing their best tennis. And I think a lot of people are doing that with Sabalenka, rightfully so, you know. She's already intimidating to a lot of them, especially people like Marta Kostyuk, but that's a whole other thing.
Was it testosterone? Now stop it.
Anyways, so, you know, and believe me, I know for a fact there are a lot of women that think like Marta who are playing against Sabalenka, especially that like, she's tall and she's strong and she's loud when she's on that court, which I love. Like people say they don't like her groaning and stuff. I love it. Intimidate the people. All of that's part of the game. I'm sorry. 100%. It's all part of it. Like do what you have to do. So if people are saying that is a mid-season for Sabalenka, to me, that's a wonderful mid-season because it's not something that's wasted. And it's not like she lost in a very bad match. I feel like all of the matches were really great, especially the ones that she even lost. Like she was still fighting, she was still battling. It's just sometimes it was kind of unexpected. But it goes back to why I did not have Sabalenka at first to win the WTA finals. Is because, again, remember I said whenever we expect her to be winning something, there's just something that just happens. I think because she's made so much progress on her mental and her battle, I think people are forgetting that it's still a long battle. It's still something that she's still fighting through. She's, before it was worse, because it was from the very beginning, now it might be a thing where she gets it a lot during, you know, big matches and finals where if things don't go her way, maybe she doesn't know how to find a solution quickly while you have the opponents that's playing their best tennis, you know? But a massive shout out to Sabalenka and a big shout out to Elena as well. And with that being said, guys, and this is no shade to Sabalenka at all. This is for the fans. This 2026, I heard too many Sabalenka and since Serena Williams in one sentence. Now, remember how I just said that her season was still great, but wrap that shit up. I no longer want to hear Sabalenka and since Serena Williams, okay? The end. Stop it. It's just stop it, okay? Serena Williams at the bar that you guys cannot reach, and that's okay. There is no, put that into your mind. The same way we keep saying we're never going to have the big three again. I don't know why you guys can't accept that we're never going to have someone like Serena Williams. The same way we're never going to have someone like Steffi Graf. Like, let's just leave the legends alone, okay? Don't set yourself up. That's
well said.
Back to Rybakina quickly, though, because there was a little bit of drama when she was collecting that check and going to take that nice picture with Sabalenka and obviously WTA CEO Portia, sorry, what's her surname?
Archer.
Portia Archer. Elena refused to take a picture right next to Portia. Everyone was looking, you know, even Sabalenka was like, oh, what's going on? What's happening?
Portia
was
very awkward. Like,
it was very awkward. Obviously, if you guys remember, there was the whole, you know, the WTA suspending Elena's coach due to weird behavior.
Investigation into his behavior.
Behavior. Exactly. And to keep in mind, even families were concerned, friends were concerned, but Elena Rybakina was always like, no, I don't care. I want to work with this person. Obviously, the investigation was done and the ban was lifted and he's back working with her.
So Stefano Vukov, that's her coach.
Exactly. And she had decided to go back and work with him. And I think this was her way of her saying, F you. Not necessarily just to Portia, but I think just to WTA. Okay, so this is my opinion, right? Because people were saying, like, oh, I should do that, I should do that. Putting the issue aside, maybe because I'm just a petty person, but if I don't F with you, I'm not going to come and take a picture with you. Do you get what I mean? But that's number one. Number two, also, my issue with this Elena and was it Stefanos?
Vukov.
Yeah, sorry. My issue with this Elena and Vukov thing is that you can't help someone that doesn't want to help themselves. You did what you had to do, right? I know it's a bit crazy to say, especially as a woman myself, and you could, and even for those who've read the articles, you could tell, even till now, I remember reading some tweets from some French journalists saying how when I was watching the matches, he was seeing how Vukov was constantly behind Elena's ear. Constantly, like nearly every point, telling her what to do. Like, there's been a lot of comments from people on record, off record, that the relationship is unprofessional. So I get that. But what can you do when the person says, I don't want to get away from them? Do you get what I mean? To me, it's just a sticky situation. To me, I just feel like you have to get to a point where you just have to leave it. And then when things really go bad, or when she realized, oh, shoot, you know what, guys, you guys were right, she'll come back and she'll apologize.
I don't know.
But at the same time, it is unfortunate because the WTA is just doing their job. They just protect, because if WTA doesn't do anything, they're the bad guys. If they do something, they're the bad guys. And as a female CEO as well, like, it's just, it doesn't look good on Elena regardless. But I don't get why we're talking about this when the girl doesn't want to help herself. What do you want me to do after that?
I think that's a great point. I think for me, it was just more the optics. It just didn't look right. But then at the same time, like you said, Rybakina, she's like well within her rights to do whatever she wants. Like, and yes, like we've already established, there was this investigation. Vukov was basically found, I don't know, like not guilty, for want of a better phrase. Like,
yeah.
he didn't do anything, hence why he's now back in her camp. Mm-hmm. So, but of course, yeah, Rybakina, she's taken it, I guess, personally, you could say.
Of course, yeah.
And I just don't like the fact that obviously it just doesn't look good on the sport in general, just because this is like literally the biggest event, and it's the year end event as well.
Yeah.
And like for that kind of photo opportunity, optically, like it just doesn't sit well. And the sad thing is, Lucy, too, like, obviously, we all know tennis isn't like the most, it's not the most popular sport in the world. Football is.
Yet,
like, when stories like this, or when things like this happen, this makes the news. And that's something I hate as a fan. Like, the sport is always kind of in the news for like the wrong reasons, if that makes sense. Like,
that's a good point. That's a good
and
point.
And that just always, it bothers me.
But remember, it sounds bad, but these are the things that get the sport out there. Because, for example, this takes me back to when TFO was swearing at the umpire. Remember that time?
And
literally, a lot of us tennis fans were like, yo, show the clips. Because none of the big tennis platforms, that Tennis TV, I think Tennis TV is probably the only one who did post it, I can't remember. But none of the big tennis platforms, like, or big tennis news platform, shared it. And we were just like, you are missing opportunity to, you know, Like, it sucks. It's bad. But sometimes that's the kind of thing that can work because...
No, I hear you.
Like you said to me off camera, I bet you want to say this first yourself, sorry, but like, you even said at your workplace, that's the only thing that they cover until the WTA finals.
Sadly, exactly, yeah.
Sadly. So, yet we've had so many great things happening. Like, you have a big tournament where all the big players are out. You have all these, you have Amanda and Iga who gave us another great match again. Like, there's so many things that were happening. And, you know, especially the fact that WTA finals is also in a country that people were still yapping about. Like, there's so many things to cover there. But unfortunately, the drama, exactly. A lot of storylines, but mm-hmm. unfortunately, these type of dramas are the one I give the most. But it says a lot, but I don't know if what Elena did was smart as well, because you're stuck with the WTA at the end of the day. Because now the WTA can act funny towards her, but we'll see.
Yeah, and it, again, I don't want to go too hard on her, but like it does kind of, I don't know, it smacks a bit of, it comes across as a bit ungrateful as well. Like,
yeah.
She's won a fat check, like over three point something million pounds.
In pounds, like five, yeah.
It's like $5 million, but yeah, it's a lot of money. Yeah,
it's a lot of money.
This is how you're kind of gonna, I don't know, show appreciation. Like, it's a bit crazy to me, but I said, she's within her rights to do what she as she pleases, and that's how she chose to deal with that situation. So
my only hope is that it doesn't get bad for her to a point where in a couple years she comes back and say, you know what, you guys were right. Because if she does that, they're all gonna kiss the teeth at her. I don't know, that's the thing, sometimes some people try to help you, and if you didn't take that help, then they might just F off by then. So hey, we'll see. But either way, that's them, innit? Elena, you got your check. Thoughts and prayers. Hope everything is well. But quickly on WTA finals again. Obviously, our girl, her season ended. Coco Gauff, she lost to Sabalenka 7-6, 6-2 in a Robin match. And that basically eliminated her from the finals. But if you remember our first pod right before this, we talked about her first match and we were like, yeah, it's looking rough. But it was actually amazing how she fixed those errors so quickly right next to her next match against Paolini. And before some of you say, oh, Paolini was not feeling well, it's like Coco was just really, she was playing way better.
It was a good level.
Like, yeah, it was like less than 20 errors that match. Something like, I can't remember, but it was definitely way less, and better serves and better shots as well. But when she played against Sabalenka, it was hard to keep up, who was basically just best on form. She, out of Sabalenka, Iga and Coco, Sabalenka was the one, obviously, she was the best. Like we said, she literally reached the final, no, didn't drop any, like, she didn't lose any match. So,
I will say though, Gauff did play, it was a good first set against Sabalenka. She had moments.
It was, yes, she exactly.
Was, I'm sure she was up a break in the
She was up a break, set. It was, exactly, she was up a break. I think she was at 5-4 at one point.
And I want to say she served for it as well.
She was serving for it, yeah. So when I saw that, I was like, oh, shoot. Oh, okay. It's something. And I think at the beginning of the second set, you could tell she just gave up.
Yeah, because by that point, because I think in order for her to progress, she would have needed to have won in straight sets.
Straight sets.
So the fact that she lost the first set, it was pretty much
It was
done.
Just like, yeah, like, what's the point?
So she was definitely holiday mode after that.
She was holiday mode, exactly. And then she did a little something because she was cheering a little bit. Because obviously you don't want to like lose like really badly, but it's like, at least we're not going to get a bagel. And you can't tank, exactly, as well. You're not allowed to anyways as well. So yeah, but that was the end of her season. But honestly, I am so happy. Obviously, we're going to have our pod talking about the end of year season. So I don't want to repeat myself too much, but I just want to say for right now, I'm so happy and proud for Coco, man. Like, a Grand Slam title, 2 1,000 titles, reached the WTA finals 4 years in a row again. And she's still, her rankings still great. And like I said before, and I've said again, yes, errors, serves, blah, blah, blah. But hey, come get your title. Come get me again.
A solidified top four player. Like, so she's finished the year again, number three in the world. Like, that is, for someone at 21, that is just insane.
21.
So yeah, she's literally, and she's still improving. And it's, again, like you said, we're going to talk more about like the end of season stuff in the end of season pod, yeah. But it's been a great year for Coco Gauff, man.
100%. So massive shout out to Coco. Up next, our girl, Jasmine Paolini. Oh,
Jazzy.
unfortunately had a very rough time due to illness. She literally lost all her matches in straight sets and singles, and in doubles, she only won the first round. In all honesty, I don't think it's fair for us to even digest and talk more about it, because generally, when you watch her on court, you could tell.
Yeah, she was suffering. I felt really sorry for her.
At the time she was stopping, she was coughing. she was fighting for her life. Like, I really feel for her, but she fought for it. And to be honest, hey, my parents' check is heavy. Yeah. If I need to go in there and cough on that court and collect some quick millions, I'm going to do it. What? Go get your money, man. Queen of Italy. After all that hard work you've done. She's the hardest work. Like, she plays a lot as well. Yeah,
She grinds singles and doubles. Exactly.
Exactly. So, yeah.
Madison Keys, she was also under the weather. So she pulled out after her first, I think she played two matches or what? Did she play one?
I think she played two.
Yeah, she played two and then pulled out for the last one.
She did.
So again, like, and it's
there
again,
was a little bug going around.
It comes back to what we were saying, Lucy, in terms of like the season being so long. Of course, players are not going to be 100% come the end of the year. Like, there are going to be little ailments or, you know, physically not feeling great. And yeah, sickness, like, that's a real thing. And like you said, there's something going around, clearly.
There's something going around. And just to say, I was listening to the radio today and the BBC said that this flu season is going to be one of the worst. So guys, please do protect yourself.
Stop it. can we believe the BBC after? I'm joking.
Eugene!
Listen, relax. Maybe edit that out.
Okay, hey, this is the world we live in now. Don't believe anything. Hey, before we move on, I just want to give, guys, if you watch that Igor and Amanda match, you know what I'm talking about. You know why I'm shouting out this match. It was, do you know what's so funny? I think I was supposed to wash my hair or something like that. I just had it at the back. I was working. I was like, wait, these girls are hitting. I sat down and I watched. I was literally sitting down watching the whole thing again. Like, it was really good. And I never thought we would get such an entertaining match from both this season. Everything has changed since that Wimbledon final. Mm. A massive, massive shout out to Amanda for what a great season it is. I can't wait to see more of it in 2026. Because now with her ranking, we're going to be seeing more interesting matchups further down, like the tournaments and stuff. And yeah, it's nice. Also seeing Iga have like an additional rivalry as well, because, you know, at one time it's kind of like one-sided and everything, so it's nice seeing that someone else on the table can shake it and a challenger. And even a shout out to Iga, you know, hey, I say you're not going to win a title, you shut my ass up, so shout out to you, you know, you did a little something. But yeah, say what you want about Iga, at the end of the day, when she has like tough talent challenging like matches, super entertaining, like a lot, very entertaining. So yeah, shout out to the girls. Doubles quickly, Townsend and Siniaková reached the semi-finals, but they did lose to the champions Mertens and Kudermetova.
Congrats to them. But yeah, no,
congrats to them
again. A great run from Townsend and Siniaková, man. Like, such a good team. So good.
I'm still wondering if they're gonna play together next year.
See, I was interested you say that. I think they will, but again,
I hope they do. It's just that there's been a lot of like changes in the doubles right now. So it's like, are they going to be the ones doing it? But maybe, I don't think so. Maybe not, because for instance, Australian Open, they need to defend that, remember?
Maybe
after the Australian Open, it might change, or we'll see.
We'll see.
But how do you feel about the WTA finals in general? How would you rate it, like, this WTA finals?
Yeah, I think very good. In terms of, was it better than last year?
I feel like it was better than last year's. Although last year, obviously, we won. Duh.
This is what I'm saying. I can't say it was better than last year because Coco won. But in terms of the matches, it probably
Exactly. That's like, my thing. Yeah. Exactly.
But yeah, I feel like, again, tennis in like Saudi, I mean, it's becoming a thing now. And like, I guess we just kind of have to accept it. And also, I feel like the players also are like kind of on board with it as well. And like, it's been nice seeing like the kind of the stuff on social media, like around the tournament as well, like getting like the local kids involved and like,
yeah.
Everyone's pretty much like engaged and like, yeah.
yeah,
really, like, I don't know, they're trying to grow tennis in that region, and I'm here for it, man. I'm not gonna like sit here in front and say, oh no, we shouldn't be doing that because like politically it's not like, no, yeah. I feel like this is a good example of like sport being kind of a good vehicle for like change, and I feel like, yeah, tennis should be proud of that. And this is, I feel like this is going to be something that we're going to be seeing a lot more of, because yeah, mm-hmm. it's going to be there again next year, and I think for the next two or three. So I guess we should just kind of get used to it. But I feel like, yeah, this year it's been, I was happy with what I saw this year.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I feel the same exact same way with you. I just hope that once our contract is up, bring it to London. Just don't make it £500 like that other one, like ATP finals, which is what we should be talking about next. Wow, wow, wow. What a time to be alive. Guys, ladies and gentlemen, I think we need to change in Paris to in Turin.
Stop it.
We got three homies in Turin. Chris Evans, Ben Shelton, Felix Auger-Aliassime. Make some noise. Wow, wow, wow. No, when you really sit down and actually think about it, like, this is actually crazy, especially the fact that it's black male players. Because, like, if you think about it, in tennis, it's always been a little bit more on the women's side. With no, the males,
definitely.
Do you get what I mean? And with the males, it's always been, like, different times. It's not really, we haven't really had a time where it's, like, for the male players, it's happening at the same time. Yeah. It happened for a quick little moment. You know, we had a little Monfils song or whatever, but you don't really have it all together. So the fact that we have all of them together at Turin is just amazing. So I just want to start off with that. Honestly speaking, what a time. And most importantly, again, we always say this, it's times like this that I'm happy that we are here, because no one, I don't think anyone else has even thought of the, that.
For real.
Really
for
and real truly, easy. Or even realized the, how great it is, in all honesty. So I don't care, win, lose, whatever. I don't care who lives the trophy. Like, just the idea that we have three black players at ATP finals shows to you how far tennis is becoming and how much of the black players are improving better and better. Because you guys are, and the thing is as well, these are some of the players, especially Shelton and Felix, that get so much talk, so much, like, whatever they do, people are chatting. But where's your favorite player? Exactly. But before we go into the guys, obviously, before the ATP final started, there was a little bit of drama. Perfect for me, because you know I love it.
Of course.
And the drama was mainly from Novak, who was not announcing if he was going to take part of the ATP finals or not, right? So for context, if we just needed to know, because there was one spot left and it could have been Lorenzo Musetti or Felix. Now, Musetti went to play in Greece at a tournament where Djokovic is also playing. Felix was like, I'm not doing that. And honestly, I don't blame him in it, because respectfully, guys, respectfully, if you know, if you listen to this pod, you know that I like Musetti. If I have to wait for Musetti to win a title, yeah, for me to enter ATP finals, I'm not wasting my time, bro. I'm chilling because Musetti did everything this year but lift a trophy. If that's what it guarantees, I'm staying. You know what I mean? So I hear him. But if Djokovic just decided, hey, you know what, or announced that he was not going to play, then it would have been an automatic in for both Musetti and Felix. But Novak was being a guy, was like, yeah, I've not made up my mind yet, innit? I'm going to let you guys know. Do you think it was right for Djokovic to literally wait till he was at the net at the end of the match that he won to say to Musetti, yeah, you can go? What do you think about that, Eugene?
I feel like Novak is literally like, the guy's a legend of the game. Let's just be real. Do you get me? So as far as I'm concerned, he can do whatever the hell he likes.
Period.
And that is exactly what he did. And like, Lucy, honestly, I respect it, because it was like, I saw someone tweeted, oh, like, why is Novak treating the ATP finals like an ATP 250? Like, he was basically saying, listen, I'll tell you when I'm ready, basically. And that's, yeah, like, to his credit as well, that tournament in Athens, that was like a, I think it was the first event.
He moved, so I believe he moved from his country to Greece.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said on the last pod, he now lives in Greece. So exactly. like he's a resident of Greece. Like that's his like home country now. Mm-hmm. So there were all these like incredible kind of factors around
exactly
being there and like competing in this tournament. For him to reach the final too. Very dramatic final. It was a free setter, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a free setter. It was very good.
So like, just a lot of drama, like from the off. Him winning, exactly, putting off the ripping off the shirt. I honestly, I felt for Mesetti, but then at the same time, I was like, bro, you're going to be in Turin. Like, let's.
Nah, don't feel. Listen, he said, hey, do you want that ATP final spot? Come work for it. Come work for it. But in all honesty, I actually think, to be fair, I feel like people forgot that Novak just does not mess with the ATP lot.
The top dogs.
The top dogs. Mm. Everyone, people think, like, I don't think he even liked the idea that he had to do that to Lorenzo and Felix. He likes these young players, but it's just, he doesn't like them. And I think the ATP made it worse by saying, yeah, Novak, we can confirm that he's coming. I think Novak saw that, I'd be like, swear down.
Says who? Cool.
Wait, he said, I don't, he was chilling at that thing. He was like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. It's like, I will make a decision when I want to make a decision in it. Or like when the journalist was talking about the comparison between his big three and Sinan Alcaraz, he stopped the journalist and be like, hey, it's not the same. We are not the same. Do not disrespect me like that. Again, like it's not happening. And to be honest, I don't blame him for being like this because you know what, Novak? I am beefing the ATP too because when I'm trying to go touring, I'm seeing 500 euros.
Insane.
Just for one match. Insane. 500 euros for the tickets. ATP finals, you got to get it together, man. Got to get it together. I am behind you, Novak, whatever you're doing in terms of that. But in all honesty, for me, like I just feel the same with you. If I have 101 titles in 24 Grand Slams, you can't tell me nothing. You actually cannot tell me nothing. But this is what makes it even more exciting as well. These are the type of drop. Like, look how everyone was just waiting to see what's happening in 80s. Exactly. Like, it actually brought in the fun as definitely. Well. So that's what I'm saying. I was like, this is the Novak I've been waiting for. Like, you guys think I don't like Novak here.
The villain.
This is this. I just don't like when he's trying to do like Roger Federer and whatnot, blah, blah, blah. No, this is not you. Be you. Be the real guy. Be the real gangster. Like, Novak is such a gangster and I need him to be a gangster 4K, like every single time. You have that. I'm backing you all to 2026. Although I have your racist fans in my mentions when I'm actually celebrating you, but that's, who cares about that?
Scumbag.
But this is the Novak I've been waiting for. Like, look how fun it is. Like, he literally has entertained me so much this week. Like, he's just like on a, I actually did not care. Like, I will tell you when I'm done. He knew he was not going to go. And it was obvious because he said he's only, what's important to him now are the Grand Slams and stuff. Yeah. So,
which makes sense.
And mm-hmm. if that tournament wasn't happening in Greece or if he didn't move to Greece, like basically if that tournament was not happening, I think Novak would have been done before. He would not play this week. The main reason why he played for that is because obviously he definitely got a nice, good fee for playing. You know, he owns it to the Greek people. Like I said to you, it was more of a political issue. He's even doing an interview with Piers Morgan, which I believe on that interview, he's actually going to talk more about the whole, because there's a political thing behind it, but I don't know what it is.
Basically, he doesn't agree with the current Serbian, like, political government.
Exactly. Like, he moved his family there. So, there's more of a sentimental reason as to why he played it, which is why I understand why he was ripping his shirt and blah, blah, blah. Like, we were all laughing at it. Like, it was funny for someone to be excited for 250, especially against Lorenzo Musetti. So,
also as well, his family kind of, they have kind of an ownership in the tournament as well. Like, there's...
Oh, so that's why his parents were there, like, going all crazy. Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, cool.
There's a whole thing there.
Yes. Basically, there's some things out there about money that we don't understand. Got it. Yeah, it's above our pay grade. Way above our pay grade,
exactly.
Way above. I hear you. I see you, Novak. Yeah, it is what it is, isn't it? Get that money. But yeah, so that it means that, you know, Musetti, although he lost... He now is through the ATP finals with Felix. So obviously the two groups, we've got Jimmy Connors group, Alcaraz, Fritz, Alex Dimino and Musetti, and the John Borg group, Sinner, Zverev, Shelton, Felix. And then also, as we said earlier, I messed up his name. Sorry. But yeah, Ross said earlier, we've got Christian Harrison and Evan King who are part of the doubles. Three black male players at an ATP finals.
Love it. Love to
see it.
No, it's incredible. I think just to go back on that as well, Lucy, like you said, it is very significant because obviously since we formed 2020, yeah, we've never had this. Mm-hmm. And again, you mentioned, yes, we've had in the past Gael Monfils and Joe Wilfred Tsonga being like top 10 players and like kind of at the same time. But since then, we've not had that.
Yeah.
Like no one else has been close. But now look at us. We've got Ben Shelton, Felix Auger-Aliassime, Francis Tiafoe as well. Tiafoe is a top 20 player.
He's
not in there at the moment.
Even Arthur Fils, he wasn't for his injury.
I was going to say, exactly. Arthur Fils, Giovanni Pecipero card. Like, we've got a lot of male guys now coming through. And it's so good to see.
Yep. Honestly, it's really a good time. We already had, obviously, we are recording this on a Sunday. So we already have Carlos' match that already gone through. He had his first match against Dimonor, straight sets. First sets was a tie break. And then later on, by the time this will be out, Zverev and Shelton will play their first match against each other.
Looking forward to that.
How do you think Shelton's going to do? You know, obviously,
it's his debut.
Post US Open, you know, yeah. And it's crazy. Can't believe it. Shelton is actually playing ATP finals.
That's what I'm saying, man. It's nuts.
That's absolutely so insane. But yeah, anyways, how do you feel about him playing just ATP finals?
Yeah, I'm excited to see him. I feel like, I think out of all of the players, he's probably the one with the least amount of pressure on him. Because obviously, Yeah, because I feel like this is his debut. Like, it's his first appearance. Whereas I think Massetti's first time as well, I think.
And he's Italian.
And that too. So there's different pressures there. Obviously, Sinner, Alcaraz, they are the favourites. Mm-hmm. Zverev, he's won it, I think, twice. So there's experience, basically, in the field. Yeah. Felix, this is his second time as well. Mm-hmm. So... yeah, there are a lot of experienced guys in there. Like Shelton is he's the rookie, essentially. So, yeah.
I mean, he even said in his press, he was like, listen, like, I'm just enjoying the moment. Like, this is my first time here, taking in one day at a time. Obviously, people always asking, like, oh, if you face Carlos, or if you face whatever. But it's like, bro, like, I just got here. Like, this is literally my
exactly.
First time.
And I feel like that's exactly how we're going to see him play. Like, just... with like freedom, and like there's not going to be any kind of pressure he's going to be putting on himself. Of course he's going to be competing because he's a competitor, so he's going to want to win. But yeah, I'm excited to see Ben, man. I'm looking forward to seeing this matchup against Zverev. And yes, it's an interesting group. He's got Sinner in there too, and obviously Felix. I'm very excited. How about you?
No, same. I don't have the highest of like expectations. Again, honestly, I don't really care about the results at the moment. I think I'm just still on cloud nine with the fact that we've got three black players in ATP finals, like, honestly speaking. But most importantly, again, when, like, just now, like, just thinking about it, like, this is what, his second, third, full year, and he is already at the ATP finals. Because it just shows, because obviously a lot of people always talk about his game and what he does, or he's not that, yet. Each year, he's really proven himself. Like the 1,000 title, he's gone deep at every Grand Slams. Mm-hmm. And even the Grand Slams, who was he losing to? The champions, the Sinners, the people that nobody else can beat. Which is that's the thing that was frustrating me, is that people were talking about Sinner, but it's like, he's not losing to just anyone. Your favorite player is. He's losing to Sinner. And your favorite player can't even beat Sinner. So what are we doing here? So yeah, I kind of do not like the fact that Felix and Ben aren't the same.
Yeah, that's a shame. But I mean, again...
You see, ATP, President, this is why my guy Novak is beefing you guys. Just saying.
But no, it's an exciting matchup. But again, to go back to what you said, Ben, he turned pro, like we said, 2022. And he's already playing in the ATP Tour Finals.
Do you know how insane that is?
It's crazy. It's actually crazy. It's wild.
But what about Felix? How do you feel? Obviously, his first match is going to be tomorrow against Sinner.
Yeah, and I feel like Felix, he's in a good spot, man. Like, considering now he's back in the top 10. I don't think at the start of the year many people would have had that like on their bingo card to say, yeah, Felix is going to be back inside the top 10 by the end of the year. Like, so very similar to Ben, like whatever happens in Turin, it's been a great season. And I'm just happy to see him back playing to the level that like we know he's capable of playing. And I feel like 2026 is going to be a very, very big year for Felix. Again, I'm not expecting major things at the ATP Tour Finals. I mean, I'm looking forward to the Zverev match because I did enjoy the meeting they had at the US Open. Do you remember? A very entertaining match. So, and I'm looking forward to the Shelton match too. I feel like that's going to be a good match.
That's true. I'm looking forward to the Sinner match because I feel like out of all of like the ATP players, Felix is one that gives, obviously outside of Alcaraz, but he's one of them that gives a lot of trouble to Sinner as well. Despite Sinner winning in straight sets or whatever, is not what it is. Like, do you get what I mean? Like,
to be fair, their meeting in Paris was actually quite tight as well.
Even it was kind of tight, exactly. Yeah, it went.
The US Open before as well. Like,
exactly. So that set was beautiful. That's probably one of my favorite sets this year, honestly. So I'm looking forward to another Sinner Felix match because I'm bored of the Sinner and Alcaraz. So it's like, give me something else, you know. But you're right. But I'm with you. I mean, you never know. Hey, Keys got married, won a Grand Slam. Felix got married.
Changes.
You never know. You know, it changes you. You know, I know Italy and everything, but to close, do you have any predictions? Who's your favorite?
We have to go there.
We did it for the WTA finals. You saw the edit that I made when you were taking 10 hours to let me know if you.
Oh, no, I'm still thinking. Who's
going to win? I'm like, bro, just give me one answer.
Who's going to win?
Because if Alcaraz win, he reclaims the number one.
And I was going to say, that makes it exciting too. So that the fact that the number one spot in the rankings is on the line, I love that.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Alcaraz.
Same.
I'm going to say Alcaraz. Even though Sinner is the defending champ because he won it last year.
He is.
But yeah, I feel like Alcaraz is... He's on a mission. And I feel like he's going to want to do it as well, like in Turin, to be like, yeah, look at me doing this. In your home, like in your back garden, like get me. But
that would be sick, especially like the ATP doing everything for Italian tennis. But hey,
so who's your pick?
I told you, Alcaraz as well. Okay. I think Alcaraz, especially with that early exit in Paris. I know he's burning after that. He's like, what the hell was that? You know, so I can see him trying to do a little madness, but. Again, it's tennis. You never know. Zverev might even come and pick it up for all we know.
I can't see that. But
I can't see that, man. We'll see. Yeah, guys, enjoy the ATP finals. Make sure that you tune in on socials. We will be there to watch the matches. And we'll be back to quickly discuss the ATP finals. And then we will come back with our end of year pod and hopefully, fingers crossed, a little surprise for you guys.
Yeah, we're working on something.
Working on something. And if that something happened, you lot can't say nothing to PSG.
Oh my word!
I'm just saying.
Stop it. Pressure.
Gosh. All right, guys. We'll catch you guys later. Enjoy the tennis. Shout out Novak.